Good morning, everyone. A few thoughts from today's Master Course lesson from Gurudeva. Sutra 308, Remolding the Subconscious. My devotees succeed by remolding subconscious magnetic forces. They purge the dross through Vasanadaha Tantra, riding and burning past transgressions and current problems, then use positive affirmations. The idea is that the subconscious mind is very impressionable, very moldable by what happens. And the contents of the subconscious mind attract to us our future. In other words, the subconscious mind relates to karma. So as we change the contents, the shape of the subconscious mind, we change our future. There's a statement, something like, future is created by the impressions placed into the subconscious mind. That's Gurudeva's statement. So life as such is a mixture of positive and negative, and so the impressions that have gone into our subconscious mind are a mixture of positive and negative. And unless we've done something to get rid of the negative impressions, they're still there, vibrating, with emotional content. When we think about them, they still upset us. That's how we know something has emotional content. We think about it. If it's a negative happening, and then we think about it, and it still upsets us in a significant way, we haven't taken the emotional content out of the experience. So that's the goal of writing down. It's in English is called journaling, that idea, Vasanadaha Tantra, writing down what's in the subconscious mind, writing down the hurt feelings about the past, the different difficult experiences about the past, writing them down and burning them up. And when we do so, we can take the emotion out of them. And Gurudeva says, you know, watch it burn and imagine it leaving the mind. So it's not that we're going to forget the experience, it's that we take the emotion out of it, so when we think about it, it doesn't upset us. That's how we know we're successful. Before doing it, when we think about that particular experience, it upsets us. It was very unpleasant. Now, after doing Vasanadaha Tantra, we think about the experience and we don't get upset. That means we've done enough Vasanadaha Tantra on that practice. So the subconscious mind has its own intelligence built into it, which we can utilize or ignore. Oh, it works in a way such as when experience goes into our mind, which we haven't fully resolved and which has an emotional component to it, the subconscious will keep reminding us of that. We'll remember that. Or maybe a week or so, we'll regularly remember this experience. What's the subconscious mind telling the conscious mind? That this is unresolved. You're about to place an unresolved experience in the subconscious mind. Are you sure you want to do that? I thought we were trying to get rid of them. You're about to add one more. It keeps reminding us. But after a certain point, it'll stop reminding us. It'll just suppress it. Because it doesn't want us bothered by too many things at once. We'd be terribly distracted. It'd be dangerous to drive. Thinking about all these things from past 6 years, all popping up, no. So it has a time limit. And then it starts suppressing it. And then only events that have happened since then that are unresolved would pop up into the mind. So it's a very interesting process. But when we watch that, we can decide if we want to resolve it, and if so, write it down, burn it up, or talk to the person that's involved if that will work. In some way, resolve the experience and get the emotion out of it, get the frustration, the anger, or the disappointment in ourselves out of it, so that it's just neutral. So that's only half the process. They purge the dross through Vasanadha Tantra, writing and burning past transgressions and current problems, then use positive affirmations. So affirmations work best when the subconscious mind has been cleaned up to a certain degree. It's not that they won't work at all without doing that, but if we go through that trouble, then they work better. There's less, what would you say, competition. More of the subconscious mind is available to help it happen in a positive way. Oh, as the expression goes, careful what you think about. You know, if we think about something enough, we can create it. So that's the idea of affirmations. They can create something in the future of a positive nature. We went to Texas, northern Texas. It's a very generous state. It gave us an unsolicited gift called a cold. It was very cold there. Where we were was a low of 18 and a high of, 24 or 32, one of the two. I guess it was 32. 18 low, 32 high. Cold for Hawaiians. When it comes to affirmation, you'll recall that there's three keys. One word, keys, think, feel, know. Think, feel, know, right. Know, think, and feel. Nope, that's not quite it. Visualize, there we go. Visualize, feel, and think. Those are the three keys. What's a sample of that? I'm going to get a high-paying job as a salesman. Say we're in sales and we're out of work. So we're trying to use affirmation to get a job. I'm going to get a high-paying job as a salesman. So we start repeating that affirmation in morning and nighttime for a few minutes each. So think means we have to keep the mind on the meaning. We can't let the mind think about what am I going to have for breakfast while we're doing it. That wouldn't be thinking. So thinking is keeping the mind concentrated on the meaning of the affirmation. And it's challenging if you've been repeating it for a few months. You tend to drift off the habit mind. So the longer you've been repeating it, the more you have to be careful to actually be thinking about the meaning. And then visualize, you choose a visualization. Whatever kind of objects you're selling, you can see yourself going into people's offices and selling them successfully. That would be a visualization. So you need to involve the visual capacity of the mind as well as the thinking capacity of the mind. There's two different aspects of the mind need to be involved. And then the third one is to feel. We need to feel right now how it will feel in the future to have a high-paying job as a salesman. We have to feel that right now, experience that feeling. And that's the part that sometimes gets left out. We do the other two, but we don't feel as it would feel to have achieved that. So when we do all three, think about the meaning, have a specific visualization in mind, and feel how it will feel to attain that, then affirmation will manifest more readily, more successfully when we involve all of that. That's what Gurudev explains in that small booklet on affirmation, as well as in, there's a chapter on it in, is it Merging with Shiva, I think, has a chapter on it. So that's where that information is, if any of you are interested in pursuing affirmation more. And it's a wonderful practice, and it's right there. The subconscious mind is creating our future anyway. But why not, you know, take a more active part in what it's doing? Be more proactive in what future you're creating for yourself by cleaning up the past and affirming what we want for the future. We actually change what happens to us. Okay, let's see here. This is on monistic theism. Freedom and responsibility. A human being has a dual and non-dual component. We'll come back and explain that if it doesn't get adequately explained, because that is important to understand. He has belief, he has faith, he has love. But all of these fine qualities can be taken away through discouragement. His faith is faith in the unseen. His belief is belief in things that are not always intellectually rational. His love is love of all that is tender and beautiful. All of these fine qualities and many more work together in lifting up consciousness toward the ultimate reality of timelessness, causelessness, and spacelessness. There is not one human being on the planet who will not eventually understand the monistic theist approach. This is because it is an intrinsic part of the human psyche. Everyone is a monistic theist in one way or another. Historically, there have always been monists on one side and theists on the other. The one path that is made up of these two camps is monistic theism. It encompasses both, and yes, it is the solution to many of the problems people face today. Saivasiddhanta is the final conclusion of the adepts, and it includes the two precepts of Vedanta. There can only be one final conclusion, and that is monistic theism. Okay, looks like we better explain. A human being has a dual and a non-dual component. It's not really explained. Well, many traditions have one or the other, a monistic or a theistic view of God. So the monist sees the identity of the soul in God. They're absolutely the same. There's no difference. Jiva is Shiva. The soul is God. The theist sees the personal aspect of God and sees a separation. Whereas the monist is looking, not looking at the personal aspect of God, looking at God as consciousness, or looking at God as consciousness and the transcendent reality. So the idea is that our tradition combines both. It's very simply said in the morning when you look at the monastic schedule, what do? Well, first we have a half an hour Shiva puja, that's our theism. Then we go into the Gurupitam and have an hour meditation. That's our monism. In our theism, God is separate from us. We're expressing our love and devotion to God in Homa and in Puja. That's theism. In our monism, we're claiming our identity with God. And there's no personal aspect of God involved. We're looking at God as Satchitananda and Parashiva. We're looking at God as the essence of the soul. So we have both approaches, a monistic pursued by meditation and a theistic pursued by worship. And Gurudeva's point here, we don't have time to read it all, is that that's a pretty good combination. And because the monistic approach works better if you've perfected your theism first. In other words, for example, you take a story. He's talking to a Bharatanatyam teacher from the USA, and she was telling me about her students, and somehow we got into the idea of devotion. And she said there's two emotions, rasas, that her students have trouble with. One is devotion, and the other is humility. They can do all the other emotions, dance poses, but they have trouble expressing humility and trouble expressing devotion. Well, why is that? Well, they grew up in America. Didn't grow up in India. America is not a country where you necessarily learn humility and devotion. But these are qualities you need to go deeply into oneself spiritually. So that's why the theism is particularly useful in a place like America, where through the practice of theism, devotion and humility are cultivated and increased. And otherwise, when you sit down to meditate on the identity of the soul and God, you end up in the intellect. You can't get beyond the intellect. And so it's not a deep practice. As Gurudeva says, the problem is that Vedanta, as taught today, gives privilege without the disciplines, creating yanis of intellect rather than realization. So even I was talking to Swami Ishvarananda in the Chinmaya Mission in Los Angeles, first Chinmaya Mission. Swami I'd talked to, I've been to Chinmaya Missions and given talks before, but never visited one with a Swami present. So we were talking about what they were teaching, and I was saying, teaching Jnana Yoga, yes, and which is monism. And then his assistant, family person, explained they had this problem, new problem coming up regularly, that a lot of the college age students were very argumentative and had this strong intellectual pride. So they couldn't get beyond the intellect. They were just kind of approaching Jnana Yoga and Vedanta as an intellectual study. So showed the problem. And there's a number of schools of Vedanta that try and avoid that by performing Karma Yoga and Bhakti Yoga first. Bhakti Yoga and Karma Yoga are a necessary foundation in some schools of Vedanta before you try and become a monist. So that's Saivasiddhanta, that's our theism really. We're practicing our Bhakti Yoga and our in the temple, and our Karma Yoga service in the temple and other places before we expect a lot out of our meditation. And then eventually our Bhakti Yoga and Karma Yoga in the temple, our theism becomes strong, and that's a nice foundation for meditation or for monism. Oh, that's the idea. Monistic theism, both paths, the temple and meditation, as part of a one tradition. Thank you very much.